Welcome to the lab, and it's your lucky day, bitch, because you just got paired up with three of the rowdiest and most opinionated podcasters with PBE.
Power Bitch Energy.
And we're your lab partners.
And we're not your typical scientists.
Oh, no.
We're here to discuss and dissect life's hottest and juiciest topics. We're three best friends from New York City with completely different perspectives.
I'm Lou. Popstar is my middle name, but authentic is my first.
I'm Bix, a yogi with zero chill.
And I'm Brie, longtime hot mess, first time mommy.
Join us every Monday as we step out of reality and talk about things that don't really matter, but really matter the most.
So glad we got partnered up.
Gotta love them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Lab Partners Podcast.
Yo, yo,
and
yo!
Welcome back to myself, because I am back this week, and I wouldn't miss this one.
I guess she's back.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a grand return, right?
I am back. I know, here I am. And yes, we're very excited this episode because we have our first ever and very special guests here with us.
Yes!
We have at Two Moms and a Teo. So hello there, Two Moms and a Teo.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
So excited to be here.
Welcome on. Why don't you introduce yourselves to our lab partners?
I'm Joanne.
And I'm Jenna. And we are two moms, and our 2.5-year-old little baby boy makes Teo.
Aw.
An angel on earth.
Well, Thanks for doing this with us, because we have a lot of questions, a lot of burning questions, burning hot tea over here.
Oh, no. Burning. Can't wait to get it going.
Burning.
I can't wait to see what you guys got up your sleeves.
And I feel like I should preface by saying that Jenna is one of our own sisters. This is Bree's sister.
We got some more Bree. Listen, there's more hot mess to go around. It runs in the family. She's here to prove it.
Well, and I don't know if I could shine her shoes.
No, I don't think you could, even if you tried. But no, honestly, I'm so excited. I remember not my whole life growing up, but from the minute that I knew about my sister's sexuality, I wanted to sing it from the rooftops. So who would have thought
actually,
at that time?
I have sang it
from the rooftops.
She literally used to come to high school and go up to everybody and be like, my sister's a lesbian.
I loved it. I was so proud, and I still am so proud, because I just love authenticity, and that is what my family is. We're very honest. We are who we are. We're genuine, and I was very proud that my sister was being that, and I don't know, I had a thing with it, and I loved to tell people. I was like, hi, my name's Bria, my sister's a lesbian, and I loved
it. I think she was more excited about it than I was.
So now here we are, flash forward. It's very exciting for me that I get to not only show off my sister that I'm so proud of, and she's a lot more than a lesbian. She also has very many accomplishments in life. But I'm very proud of her all around, and it's really cool that now I have a place that I could show you off and that we can really pick your brain, and I think this is going to be a super meaningful episode. I'm excited.
Yes, I'm excited too, and I'm happy to be sitting next to my counterpart. And, you know, give you guys a little dive into, you know, who we are, what our family's about, and where we've been, where we are, and where we're going.
Love that.
Where
so
we're going.
I think I want to give a little preface, like a little backstory of why I wanted this episode so badly, really quickly, and then we'll get into all the questions and get into it all. So I can vividly remember sitting at my cousin's wife's birth, and you know, she had just given birth to a healthy baby boy, and she has her best friend who is a lesbian, and she's been with her partner for how many years. And I remember her holding the baby, and she was like, oh, I just wish that I could do this, but it's not possible. And like, that broke my heart in that moment, because I was like, it is possible if you want to, like, but she's like, I don't know the money, the resources, the step-by-step. I don't know how I would even go about that. And like, it just seems like the most daunting task when you think about it. So for me, hearing that, I've always taken note of that. I kind of brought it to my life and how I always looked at it. And I was always like, no kids for me, like joking around. But it was probably because of that. That reason, how daunting it is. So instead, I'm making it like, oh, I don't need it. So for me, knowing all that and seeing and observing, especially coming out to LA and speaking to a lot of, you know, people in the gay community, that really resonated with me when she said that. And I feel like we need to do our part to give like more information, more resources, more step by step, and more ways to do what you guys are doing right now. And we would love to just show someone a path. If that's all we could do with this episode.
Whether subconsciously or consciously, everyone in your shoes have these feelings. I mean, how could you not? Because you're put up against, you're fighting against the odds to build a family. You know what I mean? You have to work extra harder at it. You have to put in money and time and resources. No one else has to do that. So it, of course,
it's absolutely. The first thing that we thought, and that I'm sure everybody in our shoes, it's like, where do we even start?
Right. Which we're going to get to that.
Right. So with that being said, where do we start? The dissection this week is of the LGBTQ families.
Yes.
So Brie, do you want to take us away?
Yeah. So I just wanted to dive in with the first question because I realized, for everyone listening, you know, just because this is my sister, there's a lot of things that we haven't really dove into. I know pretty much everything about you. I know all the big parts of your journey, but there's a lot of inner things and thoughts that you had that I don't know.
Yeah. And I think I'm not really like a poor me. This is going to be so hard. I'm not really that type of person. Same. So I think a lot of the thoughts that I had, I just kind of like kept it moving and tried to just only project and express positivity.
Right.
But, you know, there is a lot that went into it. I mean, many different aspects of it. And I'm sure that you'll learn a lot from this episode.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm so excited.
I want to set the scene for everyone listening. And I don't need you guys to get into it too much because, you know, that's a whole other topic for another day. But I do want you, for everyone listening, to tell us how old you were, when you became aware of your sexuality, and then, you know, how old you were when you came out, if they were at very different times in your life, just because I do have a follow-up. This will lead somewhere. So just quick
for... Of course you do. Cool.
Our stories are so different.
Yeah.
It's like great. It's coming from two different perspectives. So I like it.
So I think I'd say I got the first inkling when I was like around first grade or so. I can vividly remember being at summer camp, and there was a camp counselor that was so pretty and had long hair and cute little shorts and the whole thing. And she was sweet to me and she hugged me. And when she hugged me, I was just like,
that was
wow.
It. Wow.
I mean, obviously, I didn't know in first grade what that meant.
Color me rainbow.
Color me rainbow.
But throughout the years, I always had feelings towards women. I didn't really know what it meant, what it was. But obviously, once I hit a certain age and looked back, I was like, okay, like the right. And I mean, I think it was obvious to me. I feel like the writing was always on the wall, but still a lot of people were shocked when it came out. But I officially came out in high school. I was well aware by like freshman year, but even then I kind of waited a year or two. I did date a few guys. I had a few relationships and I did have sexual relations with men because I just felt like I have to at least try it. I have to be sure. I have to confirm. I need my confirmation before I go in head first, you know?
Fair.
So I did. I had a few, encounters with men. And no shade. Love dudes. Honestly, I feel love you guys as friends even more than girls sometimes. Like, I'm with it. We could be boys, whatever. But when it comes to relationships, it was the ladies for me.
Yeah. You know, she ain't with it when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. Gotta love them.
Gotta love them. What about you, Joe?
All right. And how about you, Joe?
I'm not going to say that, like, I knew at first grade because that, no. So I'd be lying if I was like, ah, I was born and I knew I was gay. No, I really didn't. Growing up, like, all my friends, like, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and I was like, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. Like, I liked all the girls. And I always, like, wondered, like, why do I like the girls and I'm not really into the guys? But dating wise, I was always into men. So I dated a lot of men. I was in a couple, two long-term relationships. And I was dating a guy for about 10 years and it just wasn't going anywhere. And it just felt like I was like,
that's crazy.
He wasn't making moves. And I just kind of wasn't even wanting him to make moves. I was kind of like stalling, felt like something was missing. And then I met a girl and like, we just hit it off. And like, I fell emotionally in love with her, but I never was like physically attracted to her. I could never go there. So then I started questioning like, why am I emotionally connected to her, but not physically? Maybe I'm not gay. Maybe she's just fulfilling something that I needed in the moment. Kind of went back and forth. And then I met Jenna and it all fell into place.
She sealed that deal. Signed, sealed, delivered.
Yeah. So then I had emotional and physical connection with her and kind of never turned back. So really, I only truly, I mean, I knew I was gay when I left my long-term relationship and dated that girl. But I could never go further with her. It was, there was always something holding me back. So
she
I
was
gay at that point.
So
I came out. I came out pretty late. I was like 28 years old, 27, 28.
Wow, which in this day and age is like a little more.
It's very late
against the norm, right?
Yeah, and also my sister is gay as well.
Right.
So,
which is even crazier. Love her.
I knew what it did to my parents' relationship with my sister. So I like also
maybe a
like,
part of you
nervous.
Buried it.
I didn't. Yeah, I didn't want to be like Marta. I don't want to do that to them. I, you know, like I'm supposed to get married and walk down the aisle and have kids, and I didn't think that would be possible with a female because I didn't have any gay friends, and my sister wasn't married. I didn't have kids. She was just dating women. So, you know.
Right. So that's a perfect way to segue into my follow-up. The reason why I asked this is because I'm curious at that age, before we teach everyone about your reality that you live in, what were your expectations? When you knew your when you became aware of your sexuality, what did you picture your family? Did you kind of give up hope on that? Did you make assumptions what it would be? Or did you always kind of feel like some way, somehow, I'm going to get there?
I thought, once I met, before I met Jenna, everything just seemed like a dream. Like, I really want this, but I don't think that will happen. Like, I don't even know where to go. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to have that. I'm just going to, you know, have to come to terms with it. But once I met Jenna, I felt like, I don't know, it sounds cliche, but because it like felt right. I felt like, okay, we want this. We're going to make it happen. Like, nobody's going to hold us back. We're going to get married. We're going to have kids. It might be harder. It might take more time. It might take convincing for people to support it, but we're going to do it. And we have, I guess.
I mean, I think for me, I always wanted kids, but I didn't, like, have a specific picture in my head, like, me, my wife, and you know, our three kids, you know, with the picket fence and the whole thing. I think it was hard for me to picture it and what it was going to be. And all the work and everything to put into it, there was something in me that was like kind of always like holding myself back. Maybe I was scared. I'm not sure. But I think same. Once I met my wife, I just felt like instantly we just had this connection. And I was just like, okay, like I know people probably judged us, but we knew each other for 5 minutes. And I was like, okay, so like, four kids, house, the whole thing. Like, it's been 6 months. What are we waiting for?
I think we also came out of like both long term relationships.
And we were older, so
we knew what we wanted.
We wanted the same things, and when we talked about it, it just clicked.
It was like, let's get down, to business. That was what it was.
And we were both willing to do what it took and put it in. And, like, you know, you need that in a partner, especially for something like this. Mm-hmm. And in my past relationships, I didn't have that. So I felt more like, oh, this is going to be a lot. Like, but with my wife, it's like, all right, no matter what, though, like, we're going to do this together. And we're both 100 and we're going to. And because it takes a lot. It takes a lot emotionally, physically, financially. Right. And you need to definitely have that person. So I think when you do get that person and you click, you're able to have that, like, kind of picture of what you wanted, like, become a reality and, like, actually say, okay, before that, it's kind of like this blurred thing. And you're like, am I going to have kids? What's it going to look like? I don't really know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't imagine for other couples how difficult it must be if both people aren't, you know,
it's almost like your sexuality, though, doesn't allow you to set expectations, almost is what you're saying. Like, it was always kind of blurry because of that.
Yeah.
But then you might meet the right person and you're like, oh, I'm going to figure it out because we love each other. We want this. And that's that.
I mean, you think about it, like, when, you know, you meet a man and you're like, okay, you both want kids. I mean, there's no other questions. You're going to get married and you're going to have sexual intercourse and have a kid.
Yeah, for us, it's like a roadmap for heterosexual couples.
There's no mistakes for us or accidents.
Yeah, we're like, okay,
everything is planned. Everything is so planned.
And then it's like, oh, we both want kids, but wait, are we going to adopt? Are we going to foster to adopt? Are we going to do IVF? Are you going to do IVF? Am I going to do IVF? Like, it's just so many options, and it's like so many different courses. So,
and then also, you know, get out your checkbook, like, you know what I mean? So that's also
checkbook, credit cards,
right?
You know,
yeah. The whole thing. So that leads me to my first. I'm starting easy. I'm going very light for the first one, but this is just a simple question, but I don't really have many, and it's you guys, so that's why I'm very curious. Who are your guys' role models when it comes to gay families? You guys have any, if any?
We were just talking about this earlier today. We actually, personally, the only other gay person we know is you.
Right.
No way. You're like the only gays that don't have a lot of gays, like, in your life.
We don't. Well, you and my sister. My sister, too, but my sister's older, was also with a man, you know, dated women, but never, like, got remarried, never had kids. So we really don't have any, like, families to look up to. So we follow a lot of families on Instagram.
Me too.
We have talked to here and there.
And it's kind of like, I kind of felt like funny, like, giving Instagram so much props, but I feel like Instagram has been like a great like, kind of like, support system for us, because we've connected with so many families, like two men with children, two women. And then I know we're going to get into it at some point, but, like, we have a friend of ours that actually introduced us through social media to some families that foster, and we follow them, and we've learned so much from them. So
awesome.
It's like, I didn't realize it until today, but Instagram has been like a huge kind of like community.
Yeah. So we're looking up to these people that we, like, really don't know, but they're going through the same things as us, and they're posting about their IVF or their experiences with their families that didn't support them, or, you know, adoption or foster, or even just their relationships and seeking, you know, like, therapists for the relationship and not both being on the same page. Like, just so many different things that they are going through.
Is amazing. You know, like, they talk about their struggles in relationships when they're, like, between each other when they're going through IVF and how it impacts. And a lot of stuff has been very relatable to us. So I think that's been kind of like a really big influence on us, even from the beginning,
like,
even from before.
So we're trying to be the gay families for everybody to look up to in our lives.
No, honestly,
we're trying to pave the way here.
And you have, like, I'm sure Lou's going to touch on it, but I know Lou's said that to me through the years.
Yeah, and for me, it's like, you know, with parenting in general, not same-sex parent, just parenting in general, there's the phrase, it takes a village, right? So to me, it's so scary. Like, even if I only have you guys, it's still like, I only have you guys. You know what I'm saying? Like people go to people, like, just straight people as well, like, go and ask questions about parenting, because parenting's so hard to begin with. So it's like, I can't imagine with this whole other aspect of it.
A whole other layer. Yeah.
Not having people to go to and be like, oh, you know, Bree's really, you know, good at this part, so I'll ask her about that. And Bix is really good at this. So, like, it's just very hard to not have a whole supply of people that you can reach out if for some reason you guys are having a hard time or don't know what to do, you know? So that's why I was just very curious.
Well, actually, this happens often at, like, my job. I work in labor and delivery, so I work with a lot of females, and they all have kids, so we talk about our kids all the time. But then when it comes, like, talking about, some of them are divorced, some of them, you know, are raising them with their partners or whatever. But when we talk about, like, Mateo, like, having a dad, and they're talking about the connections with their kids and their dads, and they're And they look at me and I'm like, well, I can't help you there. And you can't really help me in terms of how am I going to talk to my son about him not having a father. So there's been a couple of things where like everybody's talking and I'm like, well, it's very different in my life because I don't have a husband. I have, you know, a wife and things like that. So they can't really, even the other day we were talking to a therapist and she asked like, oh, or how are you going to teach Mateo where like his siblings come from? Like, do you have a book? Or like, how are you going to talk to him about him not having a father? And I'm like, I have no idea. We've never done this before. And we have nobody in our lives that's done this before. So who do we look up to? Like, who do we even ask?
Where do you start?
For help. Right. Where do we, you know what I mean? Like, we're just kind of doing what we feel is right. And hopefully that's the best thing for him. But we really don't have anybody to like ask for advice right. about it.
The funny thing is, I feel like Mateo has almost like taught us. Like, he picked up from TV shows that, and he saw that, you know, characters have moms and dads. And he said to us one day, like, I don't have a dad. And I'm like, no, you don't have a dad. And he's like, I have two moms. And we said, is that okay? And he said, yeah, I love my two moms.
Love them.
And I'm like,
love
it is okay. Em. That's right. It is it's okay.
So okay.
But it's so okay.
And every time we talk about family, he always says, Mama Jenna, Mama Gian, that's my family. My two moms. I have two moms. Like, he never, it's kind of like what you don't have, you don't miss. Like, right. he yeah. doesn't. Right. And he has so many good male role models. Like, he has, you know, his papa, you know, Papa and Avol, which are his two grandfathers. And then he has got Papa Lou and Uncle Joe and Uncle Michael. And he has so many men in his life. I don't think he feels like he's missing anything. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, he doesn't. So he's excited about his two
It's
moms.
Even cool, so. Like, little side note, it's even cool that, like, now Antonio is growing up with that image, and he'll say, like, I have a mom and a dad. Teo has two moms. Like, he knows. Like, yeah, if you
like
ask
a
him.
A whole different and dynamic. It's like his norm. For him to
and
be,
it's
yeah.
the norm, and I love that. Yeah. I love that we have that, because, and I hope that we just have more and more of that as time goes on. I think we will.
Same. I'm hoping that by the time Mateo goes to like school, like kindergarten,
it's much more
second,
like mainstream.
That he has other friends yeah. that have two moms or yeah. two dads or yeah. single moms or single dads or whatever, and notices that all families are different and it's okay. And yeah. he shouldn't judge them. They
and
shouldn't judge
there's
him.
Been a few instances, I think, where like if he hears his cousin call his dad, he'll say dad. But then if he hears his cousin call you mom, he'll call you mom.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if it's just because he doesn't have, I think he does it regardless.
He
just
at the end of the day, he knows I got two mamas.
Right.
And that's that.
Echoing what you just said, the one thing that I worry about, which obviously I'm moot, you know, I'm not a parent, but going to what you say, like if I have a kid, I am the parent of a kid, and I'm a same sex couple, right? But when he gets older, it's like, who, if he has questions, who does he talk to? The same way I don't even know who to talk to about raising, like, will he feel that way? So I hope, like you said, you hit on the nail, Joanne, that there will be people more around, and there's people he could even see on Instagram or this or that he'll reach out to if he does have a question. Because obviously we have questions and we're full-fledged adults. So, you know, at some point, I know you guys are going to love him to death. It's not nothing against you guys. It's just, I'm sure at points there will be questions, and I hope that he does have people he can look to as well, you know?
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, I mean, he's growing up in a same-sex family, and we even can't relate to that because we didn't grow
that's
up
my,
in
yeah, same-sex
family.
Yeah.
So he needs, like, another, you
it's
know,
a
another
brand
kid.
New experience.
So, exactly. So, you know, I hope he has support if he does have questions, and, you know, and he wants, and he has somebody in his life that he can talk to. I mean, I'll answer whatever I can, but at the end of the day, there will even be an aspect to his life that even I won't understand.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't.
I mean,
that.
I could show him who his dad is. I have a binder full of information about him. I just can't. I can't guarantee that he'll ever actually find him in person. But I don't think he'll ever want to, honestly, because his father didn't abandon him or leave him. Do you know what I mean? Or give him up for adoption.
Right.
It's a
There's
whole
no
different,
questions there. We know what his father's role was to play.
Yeah. Yes. So
what his
planned,
goal was.
Was
what
executed.
Our goal was. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So being from, like, I guess, a area where you guys don't really have many gay friends in your circle, what do you think are some misconceptions that you've experienced being a same-sex couple with a child? Like, have you ever had somebody you know, say something to you that made you feel some type of way. Like
all the time.
I think the biggest one, I say it's
probably
all the
same
time,
as me.
Is, and it's always, it's unfortunate to say this, but it's usually somebody that's elderly, not from our generation.
Right.
But it's always, well, which one is the real mom?
Oh, dear God.
The real
mom. All the time.
Oh, I mean, and in Marshall's, like a stranger.
I will never forget. There was, I will never forget. I was carrying Mateo on my chest carrier. And he was, I don't know, 3 months old, maybe. He was small. He was, like, small. And he was, like, blondie, redhead baby on my chest. And we got into this conversation with the cashier at Home Goods. And she said, oh, who's his mom? And I said, we both are. And she goes, oh, I guess she didn't realize that, like, we were same-sex
couple.
Hadn't
picked it up.
Maybe she thought I was the aunt carrying him on the chest. I don't know. Or that I was, I don't know. So I said, we both are. And she goes, no, but like, who carried him? Like, who had him in her stomach? Like
that's
who carried
a different
him?
Question.
Who's his mom? And I'm like, well, that's not your business. You're my cashier at Home Goods.
Why does that matter to people?
Why does it matter? We are both his moms. I'm carrying him on my chest.
Right.
Why does it matter?
Or, we get the comments, too, because, I mean, let's face it, you know, he looks more like me. Not that me and him are, like, twins or anything, but his hair color, his eye color. So a lot of times people will make comments to my wife, like, oh, like, we know he's not your, like, in that kind of way.
No, he didn't carry him.
That's even worse than asking. You might as well ask. Act dumb.
It's different when I joke around. I'm like, he clearly has my eyes. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
But for, like, strangers to, like, have balls to say it, it's kind of, like, frustrating.
Right. But I tell you all the time, and, like, I'm not joking, and I'm not being an asshole when I say it. He reminds me of you so much.
He does.
Much.
He does.
I honestly can see
he
it.
He has my, like, OCD.
And your facial expressions, too, sometimes.
I
see mannerisms he does. So it does make him appear to look like you in some ways. You know, and it's that whole nurture versus nature. You know, like, his... You are his mom's. You're raising him.
If you're around, I mean, you guys know. I say it all the time.
He's obsessed with me.
I'm like, I literally say it to him. I carried you for 10 months. I breastfed you for a year. Like, I am your mother. Like, he knows I'm his mom. Don't get me wrong. But like,
you're reminding him.
He always wants her.
We just taught him that he was in Jenna's belly, Mama Jenna's belly. So, like,
he knows
that
now.
He knows. But, like, I honestly, if we never told him, I don't think he would ever really know who carried him. Besides looks. I mean, obviously, when he's older, he's going to know he doesn't look like me.
But he, you know,
but he really treats us the same.
Another thing that I'd
There's
like
no
to
difference.
Say to same-sex parents out there, or people planning, is that you may, and it's totally normal that you may think that if you're not the one that's carrying, or
that's
you're not the one
thing.
That's biological, that you're not going to be able to connect to that baby, or that the baby's going to love you less or look at you different. And we are proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
I mean, if me and Joanne were drowning, I'm saving her first. You know, he'll come for me. He will come for me.
But after
she's on land.
Yeah. Yes.
After she's on land.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah. So,
did you, little side question, did you skin to skin with Teo when he was born?
She did, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
did,
sort of. Not
we both did.
No,
did
I'm asking
too.
You, Joanne. Did you as well?
Yeah, I did. I actually did before her. So I did skin to skin with him.
That's very interesting.
C-section. I did skin to skin after he got his shots and everything. And then he came off of me. And then she came from the OR. And then she did skin to skin. So I actually did it before her.
Yeah, so you were
That's
both
why you
bonded
you
with him
you
from the moment
me.
He came
I
out.
I had major
out,
surgery.
Yeah.
And she's skinning it up.
I literally didn't leave his side from the minute he was born.
So, other than, you know, the very passive-aggressive...
One more misconception. Sorry.
Go for it.
One
Give it to us.
One more misconception is that there has to be a female and a male in the
Yes, I was going to get to that. Go ahead.
That's, like, a huge misconception. It's, like, one has to be the dad and one has to be the mom. Like, who's more the dad?
And has anyone asked you
huge,
that?
I've had friends ask me that. Like,
okay.
You know.
So frustrating.
But
parenting aside, that's like a thing just with
same-sex
couples that people have asked us that.
Even with two guys, I would assume it's the same.
And to be honest with you, I can't even answer that question because, I mean, we both dress like girls. I mean, I like sweats sometimes, don't get me wrong, but we both dress like girls. And we both have different roles in the relationship. Sometimes some may think Joanne seems more feminine than me, but you know, she definitely wears the pants in many aspects of our relationship. So,
well, I was thinking about this all day today. All day today.
Yeah, I see you laughing over there.
I was thinking about it because my thing is, take out the same sex of it all. Like, if I go back to my childhood, there are certain things that my mom was very masculine on and very feminine on. And my dad the same. My dad would do laundry and cook and do the things that you might think a woman would do. But then,
same.
But then,
yeah.
Same.
Our yeah.
Our so too, it's yeah. just kind of.
Yeah, he does all the cooking.
It's not one or the other. Right.
Our whole lives.
Yeah. It's not one or the other. I feel like you go to your certain parent for certain things at certain points, you know, and it's even
doesn't need to be gendered.
Right.
And yeah. do people ask men and women that?
And like, who's the mom and who's the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on and the tasks that you perform.
I had a whole teaching lesson at work about like femme lesbians, lipstick lesbians, like butchy lesbians. Like I literally had like a whole like 6 nurses around me, like all asking me questions and teaching them. So now anytime I walk down the hall, some of them are like, hey, a lipstick lesbian.
Right. and but that's really great. So but it's great that you feel
up. Yeah.
Yeah. And that you feel comfortable like with people asking you those questions.
Do you know how many times I get that if I'm in a relationship with someone and they're like, so who's the female and the male? I'm like, we're both male. Thank you very much. Cool. That's why we're same. Yeah. That's why we're same sex.
If one of us wanted to be a man, like we would be with the other one would
exactly
be with a man then, right? Yeah. Like,
right.
It's like,
mm-hmm. Or if you wanted to, you could. Like, you know what I mean too? Like, I feel like it's very obvious that you're female and she's a female and you're together. So we don't need to go any further.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're both moms. There's no dad in this relationship. Although we both do celebrate Father's Day because
As you should.
Be the dad too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I love it. I realized that right away. I was like, listen,
the only thing
we're celebrating this.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is that you don't have someone to buy you guys both stuff on Mother's Day. Like that you guys always have to buy for each other.
We buy for each other.
But that's why you get to celebrate Father's Day too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you guys feel like at all you've ever gotten very awkward looks in public? Outwardly judged by people that were less passive aggressive or... Okay.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that experience or if you have one example of something like that that you guys have, you know, lived through.
I had a patient. I usually don't tell patients my private life because you never know which ones are going to feel uncomfortable or not supportive and then they think you're trying to like hurt them, you know.
But they always ask. Our patients always like, oh, you married? Do you have any kids?
How's your husband? What does your husband do? So I had a patient that I told I was gay because I felt comfortable. I felt like he would be understanding. And he said, no, you can't be. You can't be. I have a brother. Do you want to try? Have you ever tried being with men? I have a brother for you. Yeah.
That is crazy
to me. In the
ER
when I worked as a nurse.
Fighting
in the ER.
On the spot.
And I was like, no, I'm okay. And he just kept pushing like that he had a brother that I could like get with. And he was being serious. Like he wasn't joking. He's like, God doesn't approve of that. God, you know, like God isn't going to accept you into his heaven or whatever he said, his domain.
Rough.
And he kept like really pressuring me to the point where I was uncomfortable and I had to leave the room. And so that's where I realized like, don't judge a book by its cover. They might look cool and young and accepting and fun and whatever. So now I'm really like wary about like telling a patient.
I mean, and we're out all the time. Like we'll be like at dinner and stuff, and I'll see people like look
staring,
and talk,
yeah.
And then like they're definitely like, oh, like
questioning.
What do you think? Like, oh,
has it ever happened to you with Mateo where you saw that?
Yeah, all the time.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
And what does that make you? Do you guys care? Like, or does it, like, you just, like, you're used to, like, what?
I used to care at the beginning, like, when I was first out of the closet, I guess you could say. I used to, like, get nervous and feel like, you know, are they judging me? And I used to actually get, like, irritated and upset. Now I just, like, don't even pay attention to it half the time.
Right.
Yeah, so. I don't think I really care. Sometimes, like, I'll just, like, if I... Like, you gotta kind of know your audience. Like, sometimes if I, like, certain people say to me, like, oh, your husband, And I won't correct them, not because, like, I'm ashamed of who I am, just because I know, like, what's going to, like, where it's
not worth your time getting
and
out.
And I'm
of
just
that.
Like, I don't want
to. You know what track
there,
this train's
so
on.
Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I'll just kind of. So it's not so much like, oh my God, I care what they think of me. It's just like, I'm not here for, like, this, like,
and I just thought of a question.
This conversation.
I just thought of a question because you guys saying this. Sorry, I'm going off the rails for a second. But do you guys feel like you've ever had to lie or hide something professionally to... Do you ever feel? Do you ever feel like...
I feel like... work for some reason, like, where I work now, I don't feel as much that way. Like, I work in labor and delivery in, like, South Jersey. And for some reason, like, I get a lot of... We get a lot of, like, younger crowd and just, you know, we've had lesbian couples and... gay couples adopting and all this stuff. We've had people from all different. So I don't feel like I have to lie or hide as much now. But we also do have a lot of Jewish community, like, that are really strict, like Orthodox Jewish, that don't believe in that. So if they see my wedding band, I've had a lot of people compliment my wedding ring and stuff. I'll make believe it's a husband, or I won't ever deny my, like, Jenna, like, I won't ever do that. So I won't ever say my husband, but if they say, oh, your husband, then I'll just, like, kind of go with it. And I'll,
like, have you ever
Jenna.
Made up a name? Like a,
no,
like a husband's name. Okay.
I feel like
that. I have a feeling you had. That's
I like, have. Wait, what's the name?
I feel like going. That's like going
no,
back to my
so
marriage.
This is,
so I have
so
it,
this but. Is. Yeah. This is a lot. This story. But when I was not so before I became a nurse, I was an ultrasound tech. So when I was in school to be an ultrasound tech. Again, it's all about knowing the audience, right? I could just tell that, like, the girls that I went to school, which actually I was wrong because they ended up finding out the truth and they were all super supportive and cool in the end.
After you but made I up a whole husband. Was, oh my God.
After I made up a whole husband.
Grab the
I
shovel.
Pictures.
Grab the shovel.
I pictures.
Shut
up.
I don't think I knew this.
Who did you have pictures of?
So, all right. Not to, you know, bring up past, but I was previously married and I had a wedding picture of myself with a friend of mine's husband. And
oh my
so
God.
I was in a wedding dress and he was in a suit. Wasn't my husband, but he came to
my
wedding.
Oh my God.
So
I can't believe I don't know this. So I know that you lied, but I didn't know the whole
like,
like
yeah, a wallet
so,
size.
Initially the lie the initially the lie was that I was married to my brother-in-law. Because I used my ex-brother-in-law's name and, like, information, like, his name, his
gotcha.
Job, all that. I acted like he was my husband.
Oh, my
God. But then
God.
When they wanted to see a picture, I didn't want to show a picture of my brother-in-law because that felt weird.
Yeah.
So I said I showed the picture of my friend's husband. That wasn't weird or anything. And I told my friend, I said, listen, I got to be real with you. I'm using your husband as my fake husband. And she was fine. She was totally fine with it.
I
got to
tell
like,
you
she
this
didn't
truth.
Care.
That
yeah,
is so
like,
funny.
She was cool.
So you
yeah,
ended up letting the cat out of the bag, though, and everyone knew
so
it was a lie.
I ended up becoming really close with these girls, and I was in school with them, and then I had to, you know, they would always be like, oh, let's go out for drinks, let's go to dinner, and I just have to say my husband was working, like,
oh
couldn't make
God.
It, and then after a while, I was just like, listen, guys, I just gotta be real with you, like, my husband, it's not a husband, it's a woman, and they were like, why didn't you just tell us, like, we're fine, and I think at that time I was a lot younger. I was a lot more insecure in my, you know, I wasn't, not that I wasn't proud of who I was, but I just didn't know how to just be and not like make a big deal about it. Like now I'm just like, oh, my wife and my son. Like
right.
back then I was like thinking in my head, like, how do I say I have a wife? How do I say it? How do I say it? Like it wasn't like
I understand
I couldn't
that.
Just be.
Well, she wasn't as cool as me, so...
I mean, yeah, it was probably just because it wasn't you. You know? Yeah. But now, you know, I just say it more freely, but, you know, I was just scared. I was scared that people weren't going to want to be my friend, that people were going to look at me like I was disgusting, that when we were ultrasounding each other to practice, that the girls were going to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
I used to think that, because I used to think, like, okay, like, you have to pick your shirt up. And, like, you know, like, ultrasound and the kidneys are low and, you know, not to get all anatomy on you guys. But I just felt like I didn't want to make anyone feel weird. And like think any different. And that
sucks. That just reminded me. Remember our old boss that said I ate tacos and was telling everybody that I was eating tacos.
Yeah. Started a rumor at our first job.
At our first job that we actually met at our manager.
Which is such a
My boss.
Was it tacos meaning like vagina?
Yeah.
Yes. So he knew I was gay, but a lot of people did.
So this is why you make up a fake husband. You know,
and he was like sexually harassing me in a sense, because not directly to me, but he was telling my coworkers Joanne likes the tacos.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
I found out that's like towards the end of me working there, and I didn't know he was telling people that.
Side note: he also like slept with the secretary. Remember, it was the secretary.
And he was a skeezball.
Get this, the secretary and the mom both worked there. It was a daughter mom, and he slept with both of them.
I got one oh, my
God. He's got no leg to stand on. This one's got no leg to stand on.
We could have a whole episode dissecting this man's
life. Yeah, I was just going to say. I need to hear more about this story.
He seems to eat tacos a lot, too.
Yeah, we've had inappropriate things, like at work and stuff, comments and stuff. So like,
yeah, I mean, it's different, like, if, like, a friend says it. Like, you know, people say things, and I feel like they're just trying to, like, be funny and, like, be like, oh, you know, like, we're friends, I can say that. But, like, that was, like, I mean, you're...
Talk about hiding. We just had to hide our relationship recently.
So spill it.
My
aunt dying is not the funny part, because that was really emotional. Right. But we went to church, and my mom's bosses went as support to my mother for losing her sister-in-law, because they're very kind and sweet like that. But they're in their 70s, you know, strict, strict Catholic. And they don't believe in gay marriages. And my mom had once mentioned to her a long time ago about me doing IVF to have a baby. And her boss kind of flipped down and said that that's not God's way. Why is she doing that? Why doesn't she just wait for a man to come into her life? Like, and so my mom was too afraid at the time to tell her, you know, my daughter's gay, because knowing how religious her boss is, and she's worked for her boss for 20 years and didn't want to, like, ruin their relationship.
Ruffle no feathers.
She never told her boss that... Yeah, exactly. So she never told the boss that it was gay. But this is how things always come out. So being truthful is the best way to live. So she never told them.
And being truthful, not for the other people, but for yourself.
For yourself. Right. So you don't get caught in things like this.
You shouldn't have to ever make up any stories about fake husbands and pictures and all that. No, so, but seriously, because imagine, like, that felt horrible. And then I would forget sometimes, and I have to, like, say he instead of she. It's a lot. And it weighs on you. It really does.
Yeah,
it's,
I would be, like, anxious every time I was with that group of people.
Yeah, I would. I would have anxiety all the time. It was
really... So my mom's boss came, long story short, she doesn't know I'm gay, and she doesn't know I had a kid. And she came to church. And of course, Mateo is on my lap the whole time, and we're next to my parents and my sister, and Jenna's next to me. And so we could see them staring at us from the back of the church, because they sat, you know, away from the family. And they stared at us the whole time. My mom said, please do not tell them that Jenna's your wife, that Mateo's your son. I said, Mom, I could, like, act like I don't see them, but I can't, like, go up to them and be like, no, this is not my child. I will never deny my wife or my kid. It's just not going to happen. So mom was like, okay, just try to avoid them. If they say hi to you, don't go near them with Jenna and Mateo. Try to avoid the whole thing. And the whole time in church, we're, like, whispering to each other. They're staring at us. Like, they're definitely nowhere together.
Not to mention that Mateo was on her lap, because that's his grandma, like, all the time. So I'm thinking,
and on my lap,
who are they going to think, like, who's this baby that, like, is on her lap? Like, they're going to be like, oh, who was that baby that was with you? Like, it was just bad.
Yeah, so on our way out of church, my mom and dad and sister stopped to say hi to them, and I literally made believe I didn't see them and ran out of the church with Mateo in my arms and Jenna running behind me.
Terrible.
And so...
And your mother
had to hide who we are.
And my mother-in-law was, like, anxiety, like, riddled with anxiety. It sucks for her,
too, because she can't even, like, share about her grandchild.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think she could. I think it's more in my mom's head. I know they're strict religious.
I think your mom is
sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know they're strict, you know, Catholics, but I feel like, even if they don't approve of it, they're not going to, like, treat my mom any different. You know what I mean?
True.
Like, she's still family to them.
True.
And I just feel
regardless, your mom on the gay journey is where I was 10 years ago, making up fake husbands. Your mom hasn't been, you know, your mom's still relatively new to it. And she's wonderful and supportive of us, but remember how she was 5 years ago to how she is now.
She cried at our wedding when she saw us kiss for the first time.
She came a long way, but now, you know, she needs time to even feel comfortable with that whole situation the same way that I did. So
And I'm going to say something really quick, like really quick, like I know this is another whole thing, and this is going back to what we were saying before. It's like when we don't even have references, we, and this is a fine line, I don't give that many two handouts to people, you know, too much, but a lot of times I do give a little leeway because they don't know either, like, you know what I'm saying, like the same way we have questions, the same
thing
way
we talk about for
like it's the same thing, like how do we expect people to not act inappropriately if they've never seen it before and it's just new to them? How?
Because my mom growing up, being gay was taboo, like it was like the worst thing, like the worst thing you could, it was like if you were gay you had AIDS,
right?
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like it was so, it was such a hard time growing up. She was like traumatized,
so you
like,
can't
she,
really
when she found out that I was
much.
gay, she thought I was never gonna get married, never have kids, like people were gonna judge me, people were not gonna be happy for me, like she was so worried because that's how she grew up. So you know, now she's afraid to tell anyone, including her bosses that saw us together at church. So I'm pretty sure they know.
One day at
Shout
a time.
Shout out to my mother-in-law's bosses. You know.
So we have two more of like the homophobia of it all, and then we'll move on to the whole journey of the parenting and stuff. This is just a genuine question that I just have. I'm just curious. Do you guys feel pressure? And you kind of hinted at before, but do you guys feel pressure to be successful same-sex parents, or do you feel like a responsibility to be that introduction to people so that people don't keep continuing to act that way because they have a face to the thing now? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that...
Or do you just do your thing?
I think about it sometimes. Like, all the negativity that people put on, you know, well, a child should have a father and a child should be, you know, created by a man and a woman, you know, the religious aspects of it and all that. I think about sometimes, like, kind of like, well, I have to make sure that I do the best I can so I can prove them wrong.
Right.
Not even for them, but also to make sure that my son has everything and that, you know, he deserves the same thing that any child does, regardless of if they have a father, what their parent, you know, who their parents are or whatever. So I do think about that sometimes, you know, just because I already have expectations as a parent, and then I feel like that's a little bit of more like societal added pressure, like another layer of it.
Of course.
I definitely do think about that sometimes.
I just do my thing, honestly. I don't really give a
Good
fuck what anybody else has to
Good.
Say.
Good, that's the way it should be.
Love it.
The only pressure I feel, honestly, because my mom had such a hard time, I feel pressure to like prove to my mother that like I can have everything that she thought I couldn't have, and what made her afraid or unsupportive at the beginning, because we didn't speak for a long time when she first found out. I feel like I have to prove that to her now, and I think I've done a really good job, and I think that's why she's
so
supportive now. But otherwise, 100%. Besides like my mother, I really don't feel pressure in the act. Maybe when Mateo's a little bit older and there's more like drama in his life where we have to like explain ourselves or defend ourselves more, I will. But right now, like, I really don't. I feel like we're doing a good job.
I think we're living
our best selves.
Like, I know personally for me, I've seen people that were so against our lifestyle come around, and I think it's just because, you know, we're professional, we have good careers, we have a good, you know, stable environment, we have a child, we're family oriented, you know.
We're respectful, we don't make out in front
people.
Of everyone,
I mean,
we're not.
Even my grandfather.
Even though you should be able to, everyone could get the
we
fuck
should.
Out.
Right, I was going to say, like, just because you're gay doesn't mean, like, you should be held to the same standard that a straight couple should be. You know, like,
right.
You and your straight couple be like, oh, we're accepted because we have good jobs, because we're like, that's sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's
it
a
sucks
shitty
that
position.
You have to have those things
like,
to be
extra
more accepted.
Standards.
Yeah,
like,
and
yeah.
I also don't want to let down my community. I want people to look at same-sex women that have kids and be like, wow, like, they're doing it. They're doing the thing.
Right.
Look at them. Like, they have a career. They went through all that to have kids, and their kids are amazing and all that. But what I was going to say before that is, like, even my grandfather, who's almost 90 years old. I mean, he never could understand my lifestyle. Not that he was, like, mean to me, but he wasn't supportive of it, and he wasn't about it. And I think with Joanne,
it's almost like he ignored it through the years.
Exactly, kind of. Like it didn't exist. But now, you know, he sees my life and he sees my relationship with my wife.
Yeah, I was very worried because he didn't come to our wedding, so I was like worried that I was going to feel like uncomfortable around him. But he always makes me feel
even
like
now
family.
With Mateo, like, and like different. He really has come around a lot. And listen, I'm no, he's not marching in a gay pride parade. I know that. But at the end of the day,
give him,
I think,
give him another year.
Yeah, he treats me like,
you know,
family.
I feel like because all the values that are important to him, like having a good job and having an education and being family oriented, all of the values in his life, I've proved to him with a woman by my side instead of a man.
You still, and, yeah, it doesn't change.
Right. And
one
I
of
know
the best
he's
things
proud of me.
Someone said to me, not to cut you off, but I don't want to forget this, but someone said to me, long, long time ago when you first came out and I was very young and they were like, and I was upset because of the way our family was responding. And they said, listen, at the end of the day, Jenna is Jenna. And what she does in the bedroom, who she does it with, does not change who she is. And it's so true. You could still have family values, a great job, just because you want to be in the bedroom with another chick shouldn't measure those other things. And I think it took Poppy some time.
Yeah, but
our
it's
grandfather.
Deeper than a bedroom. It's so much deeper in with the
yeah,
stigma.
I was gonna say the
and,
same.
No, I know, but
no,
I'm just saying
and
the
it
stigma.
Is, but it's like when if you can in your brain like look at it. Not everyone can, but as like a young girl, it was easy for that to be explained to me and be like, yeah, right.
Right, exactly. But when I'm like, when I say that I'm a gay man, it's oh, so you sleep around, you whatever the stigma is, it's not about...
Right, that's right. What I'm saying. That's the stigma.
The stigma, you have to break through.
So you and you have to break through it.
Right.
So... Exactly. That's
it's so much more deeper than like what you do in your bedroom.
When you have a 2-year-old, there's not much sleeping around.
Right.
Yeah. You better like each other first. You better be best friends first because there's no sleeping around. There's no sleeping.
There's no sleeping. There's no kind of sleeping.
Bree, you want to hit up that last question?
The last question. Right. So I was just curious, which I wanted to jump in earlier and just say it, but really quickly, what it was like to have your child baptized in the Catholic Church. And as a lesbian couple, when you had to take, you know, those steps, when you made that decision.
So my biggest thing, and I said this to the priest when I met with him before he was baptized, is that I don't believe that my personal decision, life choices should reflect him. And, you know, he should be able to have a religious, spiritual aspect of his life, regardless of his mom's lifestyles. And if he chooses that he wants to continue and be Catholic the way I was raised to be, that then he should be given that clean slate by being baptized. And if that's the path he wants to take, he should be given that opportunity the way I was, the way any child should be. If he came to me and said, like, mom, like, I don't believe in this, like, I want to be this religion or I want to be that or whatever, I'll support him. But as an innocent newborn, like, he deserves that. And the priest agreed and said he does. And
guys, I'm crying again.
I
can't.
And we're very sad because the priest died of COVID. So we don't next children will be able to be baptized there because we don't know.
Terrible.
If they're as good as
R.I.P. He was a very sweet man.
He was. And he put, you know, things that the church as an organization instilled in his brain. He put that aside and went with his heart. And he agreed. And he said, absolutely, I want to baptize your son.
Was his name Father Richard?
Yes. So I think that experience kind of made the fact that I was baptizing him, like, it confirmed that I was doing the right thing and that's what I was going to, like, and that it was
I was nervous, though. We didn't have a private baptism.
Yes.
It was a public baptism.
There we go.
Right, so is there anything you want to share about that, being the only two moms baptizing?
I thought, like, all those, like, Staten Island Italian women were going to freak out that their Catholic church was allowing these two, but everybody was so kind. Nobody, like, batted an eye. Nobody stared at us. Nobody made it about us. Everybody did their thing and had their kid, and their families were with them and supported them, and we had our support, and we didn't, I didn't feel, like, an ounce of judgment or fear once it happened.
And that's all,
like,
that matters.
I was, like, relieved because I was nervous leading.
Bree and I were talking about before you guys hopped on, and we were talking
and
about.
Shout out to our baby's godparents both being with us.
Oh,
yeah.
The best. Yours truly.
Well, I was going to say.
Godpapa.
I was going to say there, like we were talking about before, the only thing that I saw that we noticed with you guys, with the other couples, and obviously everyone else was straight, was that I think that people were more just trying to figure out who was who, but it wasn't like a judgy thing.
They were more
intrigued. It's intrigued, not like judgy.
Right.
Like they weren't like, oh, get
them
out of here.
They weren't judgy eyes, no. But there was a little like, okay, wait, because, you know, when you all go up, for anyone that doesn't know, when the child is baptized, the godparents and the parents all go up there. And, you know, we have now three women and one man standing up there. So I'm sure some of them could have tried to make, but then they're like, wait a minute, that's the godfather. So that can't be the dad, or is that the dad? Or so I'm sure there might have been one or two people, but like you said, no one was really concerned about it. Like eyes
nobody
were on you. People
thing.
Were whispering or anything like that, which is nice to hear.
Yes, and the godparents are here. What's up?
And we killed it as godparents.
All right.
They did.
He loves his godparents.
He does. Yeah. You guys are like his true homies.
All right, so let's move into the parenting of it all, if you guys are ready. I don't know if you're ready for that. Are you ready?
Parenting.
Start
by the fact that we may have thought about choking him before he went to bed.
I'll start with, like, stupid questions really quick, and then we'll hand it over to Bix.
PSA, we have never choked our child.
Yeah.
Right. It was a joke.
We just
it was a joke.
About it.
Lighten up, people. Lighten up. It's a joke. All right. So this is to Joanne first. I'm going to ask the same questions to you guys, and I'm just curious to know, because it's, like we were talking about before, the dream. Even when you guys met each other, the dream was to be parents. And when you're in the reality, you know, sometimes it's different. So, Joanne, what do you think of Jenna as a parent? Has she surprised you? Has she lived up to, like, just your thoughts? Just, like, what is the expectation to the reality of it all?
She's definitely surprised me. I don't know. I didn't know how Jenna was gonna, like, enjoy pregnancy. I didn't think she would be one to enjoy pregnancy, and she was, like, a badass pregnant person.
She
like,
was.
I think
she
I've
killed
even
it.
Said
I
on
do
this
it for
podcast that being pregnant with my sister made me be, I hated being pregnant, and I hated it more because my sister loved it. And I would see her, and she'd be like glowing, and she was like, I'm setting up a photo shoot. Look at my new dress. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate myself right now.
I'd be
like,
Remember I'd be on the exercise.
You were bouncing
ball?
On the ball every day. You love
she
that
was motivated.
Shit.
She surprised me with breastfeeding. I didn't think that she would make it to a year, and
wow,
she was hardcore.
Really?
Not because I didn't think you had motivation, because once you set your mind to something, you do it.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that you would be like that motherly as I would be. Like, I always thought, like, because we always discussed, like, me being pregnant first. I always was, like, a little bit more motherly. So I thought, like, I didn't know that. I didn't think she wouldn't be. I just didn't know how she was going to be. And she definitely surprised me. But she is exactly what I thought she was going to be. She's his best friend. She wants to be the fun mom and the good mom all the time.
Somebody's got to do it.
But she has been a couple of times. There's a couple of things that she's very, like, particular and strict about, which is surprising because she's not really particular or strict about anything in life. She kind of is
like what?
Go with the flow. Like what he's wearing, how he behaves when we're out. Like, you're very particular about certain things, especially what he's wearing.
She needs her kid to be fly.
Yeah, like, I thought she would just be like, whatever, throw on some sweatpants, like, who cares? And she's not. She's so very not. And she will make sure he looks good, even though we look like crap. So she surprised me in that way. But she is exactly what I thought she would be. She's great. She's, Mateo's her number one. She puts him first for everything. And I didn't realize that we would both be so obsessed with him. Like, he is our best friend. Like, we want to do everything with him. Like, anytime I'm like, oh, we're going to the Bahamas, we're going to Aruba, you're taking your son? Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't want to go without my son. Like, I want him to be there. And I didn't know we were going to have, like, that bond with him. Mm. So that surprised me, like, for both of us, how, like connected we are with him, and, like, how he's our bestie.
Oh, I love that.
best.
And Jenna, let me flip it.
But she's a great mother.
Let me flip it to you. The same thing. Anything that's expectation versus reality, surprises, all of it. What do you think?
Careful what you say. You still have to sleep a week tonight.
No, I mean, Joanne is just, anybody that knows her, she is like, everything's planned, everything is organized, everything has a place, and it's just, as a parent, she's exactly like that, which I expected. What I didn't expect is how much that I would, like, secretly like it. Because a lot of times I'm like, oh, here she goes again. But I feel like because of the way I am.
Oh, you need
saying,
it.
You know, I feel like not only do I need that, but like we need that as like a threesome.
Yeah.
So if we're doing something or going somewhere, like I love how she's just like, the bags are packed. I'm like, oh no, my wallet. She's like, it's in the bag. Oh, my phone. It's in the bag. Like she's just like, she's on it. And like, I joke around like about how she is about things. But at the end of the day, like, I need that. Mateo needs that. We need that.
Mateo be, like, likes structure.
He does. Yeah,
and that's the other thing that's surprising is how much, like, because I'm very, like, laid back and easygoing with a lot of things. So I kind of just, like, thought he would be more like me. But he's really not. Like, he's, so the two of them are just, like, OCD schedule. Everything's on time, has a time and a place and a, so that's
when
surprising.
Bree said it what before.
Is, he wouldn't be like that.
What is Mateo's sign?
He's a Leo.
A Leo. And what are you, Joanne? What are you? What are both of you?
Sagittarius and Gemini.
Oh, so he's got the fire. The fire with Joanne.
She brings the fire.
We got some fire.
Because I was going to say, fire signs. Before, when we were talking about how he's like Joanne in certain ways, that's where I was going to hop in with the schedule of it all. He loves, the two of them are like, they love it. They love it. Yeah.
He like thrives off.
Like, so in the beginning, it's funny because I would always be like, all right, babe, like if he goes to bed at 7:01, like what's going to happen? But then I realized if he goes to bed at 7:01, something is going to happen. So it shifted from me being like, oh, my wife said he's got to do this. My wife said to like, wow, like everything that you're saying and doing like makes sense and it's beneficial to him. It's beneficial to us.
Yeah, I definitely don't do it for fun.
So like, it's, I think that was like a big learning experience for me because I'm really not a schedule. Everything has to be a certain way person at all. But it's been so beneficial to like parenting and our lifestyle, how we were always on the go and we're always like to do a lot of things. If it wasn't for her way, like we would miss a lot of the things that we do or we would just be a mess.
That's the number one thing I picked up watching you guys.
Solidifies the fact that I want to still have like 4 or 5 kids. Because now that I see the way Joanne is, I'm like, oh, we could do this.
We could have more. Joanne, I might be in an insane asylum.
Yeah. No, you can't leave me. You can't leave me. It'll be a mess. The house will be a mess. We'll be upside down without you.
Aww. I'm honestly surprised how like much I've bonded with Mateo. I was very worried that like I wouldn't bond with Mateo because I didn't carry him. Because again, I didn't have anybody to talk to.
Right.
And know like what it would be like. So I keep saying like me and Mateo are so bonded that like the kid I carry, Jen and that kid are going to be so bonded. Because I feel like we had to like create our bond. It wasn't right. So natural. I don't know. So that surprised me about myself. You didn't say that, but you could have said that.
I never doubted your bond. I never doubted that she would bond with him. That was never a worry in my eyes. I don't know. I just felt like Joanne's like a part of me and Mateo's going to be a part of me. So then they have to be a part of each other is what I kind of thought. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and I just always knew that I felt so connected to her. So how could my biological child not? Like, I just didn't think it could be any other way. And I was...
It was just... it's natural. It's natural.
A little more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you guys have, like... Which is great. You guys both have your super strong connections with Teo. And you guys are both amazing parents. Like, in your own, you know, respects. Of course, you guys... Honestly, that fucking baby, the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh. Gotta love him.
And if you hung out with them, forget it.
Oh my gosh, the videos I see, that personality.
Yeah, his personality. I will say, though, he does have, like, my, like, funniness. He is so
He's like, he's a spitfire. Like, he could just come out with things, and you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And he doesn't stop. He's like, get me my freaking cake pop.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad. I don't know where
he's all Jenna with that.
Word friggin'. We literally pull, we're waiting online in Starbucks, and he's like, where's my friggin' cake pop?
Oh, my God.
And then I asked him where he learned that word from, and he said Uncle Michael.
Oh, we know the culprit.
Yeah.
So, because you feel like you have these strong bonds with him as a same-sex couple, do you ever have those worries of, you know, how people say, like, quote unquote, father figure, like having that not in his life, but like supplementing it in other ways? Like, do you ever have fears like surrounding that?
So, I've thought about, like, how will it impact him not having a father? But I think what's been, like, the saving grace is, like, I think my wife mentioned before, like, the male figures that he has in his life. So, and again, and a lot of it is, like, irrelevant if you really think about it. Like, oh, like, right. A dad at a soccer game, right? But, like, I mean, you guys all know. Like, I probably know more about sports than half the dads on this
field. Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, hands down. But, again, for him to see everyone with their dads and then look over and be like, oh, I don't have one. Like, I've thought about that, but, like, he has his papa there. Or, you know, he has Uncle Joe or Uncle Michael or Godpapa, whatever. So I feel like it's... And listen, I know that there are certain things that a man will teach him and things, you know, that
I know
me as a woman, I may not be able to do. But
I've never actually attempted it, but I think I know in my head.
There you go.
Okay. Actually, I think Brianna I know in my head.
Recently, if Brianna recently needed help with the tire and I was too scared to go help her, but if I really have to teach him... I think I could figure it out.
Right. I don't know.
You That's got what it. YouTube's for.
But no, but I mean, like, things about, like, I don't know, like, you know, about, like, male parts yeah. and things of that nature.
Well,
like,
I think of
obviously
even...
Obviously, we can't relate
I taught him how to pee standing up.
You
and
did.
I'm not a man.
Well, he does do it
I do
good,
think.
So.
I do think when I get what I think Jenna's also getting at, especially when he gets older, it's like the sex talks and the relating
puberty
in that way, the puberty. Yeah. That's where it might get a little weird. But again, he still has his list to go down. And what they say is true. It takes a village to raise a child. So in this case, when those things come up, that, like you said, inevitably there's going to be one or two or a few things here and there that a man's going to teach him that you guys can't. The same way, you know, if I have a kid and I'm with a husband, and there's going to be things that, like, you know, if we have a girl, you know, she's going to relate to an aunt a little different than she'd relate to me just naturally, just because of that feminine thing, you know what I mean? And the masculine thing. So there's going to be points that come up, but he can go down his list of his support system that of all the male figures that he has.
Right. Exactly. I think we have to lean heavily on just the men in our life.
Yeah. And the other thing is too, I want him to feel like he has those outlets that he can, you know, and I know he will. So I don't even feel like I have to even work at that.
So you're not worried.
Yeah. Right. He's got a lot of good ones.
I'm not really worried.
But we can teach him how to like women. We could teach him.
You guys know a lot of
that. Yeah, we could teach him how to treat women. I could probably have a sex talk or two.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
And he's definitely going to be the best dressed kid on the block.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Definitely.
So, have you guys spoken about what you're going to do in the future when Mateo gets a little bit older and, you know, starts having some questions? Have you guys, I'm sure you guys have, like, talked. Why don't you share some of your plans with us?
I think, like, the main thing is just to be very transparent with him and honest, and just whatever questions he has, we have the answers, and we have, like, all the information that we were able to gain from his donor, and he can have access to that whenever he wants. And, you know, we're open books. Whatever he wants to know, we'll tell
him.
So
you do plan on letting him have all the information from his donor?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's actually a website that we could join and meet his, you know, quote unquote siblings. They're not, you know, they're like biologically his siblings by the donor. I want to do it. I want to do it so I could see them and see how they look and see where the families are at. And if one day he wants to meet them, he can. Jenna's more against it than I am.
I want that to be like his choice. I feel like they're his siblings. They have no attachment to us, right? So if he told me like, hey, I want to join this and find out information about other people that my donor donated to, you know, other kids that came from the same donor, then go for it, sign up, do it. But I don't feel like that's like should be my decision now. You know, that would be something that he should be able to. And if he chooses to, I'll support it. And I'll, you know, sit right next to him at the laptop and you know, do it with him. But for me to do that now, I just don't feel like that's my choice to make. But we have all the information if the time comes.
So is there, let's like fast forward way, way into the future now. Have you ever thought about one day when Mateo settles down with someone, whether that be in a same sex or a straight relationship, and you have to merge your families with someone else? Have you ever thought about that? Like sitting at the table now with like, you know, him, he has to bring his two moms to dinner, say if he's straight with his wife. Have you ever thought about those scenarios? How like down the line?
Actually, no, yeah, I haven't.
I don't think I've ever thought about that.
That's one thing I have to say.
It was the most interesting question to me on the list, so I had to steal it and ask it.
Shout out to my friend Jose. He sent that in. He's also a gay man, and we were at dinner the other night, and he said that, and I was like, you know, I never even thought of that. That's crazy. So,
but now, since you haven't thought about it, is there anything that you would like to, like, is there anything that sparks in your brain when I say that to you? Like,
I mean, I would hope that Mateo will embrace us as parents and be proud to bring his two moms to dinner. And I feel like as long as it's something that he's,
I just keep thinking of like really funny movies now, like thinking like
Meet the Parents
like us going to like their wedding rehearsal with like the really strict family and the two moms are there and we're like knocking shit over, we're drunk, we're lighting up the house on fire. I just keep thinking of like every
we gotta start writing these down. This is a great
we're
movie.
Not dysfunctional
What's
like
Christmas
that.
With no, the cranks?
I know, but like, you're putting it out there that we're like drunk, dysfunctional messes. We're not at all,
but I just feel like we're going to be the outcast now. And like, so we're going to be really fun. Like, I just think of like Jamie Lee Curtis in Christmas with the Cranks and her husband, like, sunburned, like, their house set up for Christmas. Like, we're going to be the top
Honestly,
of the town.
You know what I think? I think that we're probably more normal than straight in-laws could be. There's probably some in-laws out there.
Everybody's got a little wacky. Everybody's weird.
You
know, everybody's
and what's
a little,
normal?
Yeah.
Normal subjective anyway.
Exactly.
Normal
is
whatever.
Subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just saying, honestly, no. I really don't think it would, like, be an issue. And, I mean, I'm, like, really friendly. I get along with everyone. I can talk to any. Bring them on.
She's not joking.
No, I'm not. So, to Mateo's future in-laws, I'll see you at Thanksgiving. Gobble.
What's the Christmas movie that my dad was laughing at? The
one National Lampoon.
I keep thinking of, like, the turkey on the table. Like,
Joanne's still not over it. She's like, I'm still at this family dinner and everything's going wrong.
Right.
We're eating, like, some weird-ass Jell-O.
I don't know how we got to Jell-O at holidays. We don't eat Jell-O at home.
I just feel like everybody's going to think something of us. And when we walk in, we're going to be so normal, but they're not going to think we are.
Right.
Because we're two moms.
Probably not, but
We're going to walk in. I think we should walk in with like a big flag.
Right. Imagine you come
just waving. Just walk in.
Just in case you didn't know.
Right.
Oh my God.
No, we can't embarrass Mateo. We have to be.
This is really funny now.
We have to be on our best behavior for Mateo.
Okay. All right, so I'm gonna switch it up now that we're all getting all funny, but now it's serious again. But I have a question. What was the discussion like, and what was the reasoning behind choosing Jenna's last name? Like, what was the discussion for the name, the family name?
There wasn't a lot of discussion.
But I think the main reason was that I had changed my name in the past, and I like went through hell and back to change my name and then change it again, and that whole process was so daunting. And I remember like kind of complaining about it to her. And then when it came time, she was just like, listen, like, I'm going
to
take your
name. I always wanted to change my name. Like, growing up, I always just thought, like, that's what my family does. Right. Like, they change their name. Right. Like, and we've had some men change it to the women's name. So it's never been, like, a sexist thing. Like,
shout out to the Portuguese for being so, like, forward modern.
Love
the men changing their last names. Love it. Yeah. Gotta love them. Right.
Most Portuguese families take both names. So, like, the mother's maiden name and the dad's name, and, like, all the kids have both. So, like, I have my mom's maiden name and my dad's last name, even though my mom got married and has also, his last name.
Cool thing that the Portuguese do, they use their maiden, they, like, totally X out their middle name, which is kind of, like, unfortunate.
If not in Portugal, just in America, because America doesn't allow so many names.
Right. But then they use their maiden name as their middle name.
Oh.
So, Joanne is Joanne Neto Reitano. So, her middle name, wow, we just really put our whole
government. Yeah, the government. You want to tell, you want to say her social security while you're at it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I always said I wanted to change my name, so it was just kind of easy for me. But, right. Like, I do still have Neto as my middle name, and Mateo has Neto Reitano. So, his middle name is Vincent-Neto.
Again, putting it all out there.
So we
always knew that we wanted to have the same last name, and we wanted, like, as a family. I mean, to be perfectly honest, if she didn't want to change her name, I would. It's not that I was opposed to changing mine. It just the way it happened, she was just like,
it just worked out for you guys.
Yeah, it just worked out for us.
Yeah. So,
and it was a pretty easy decision. I think the perfect way to close off this part of our convo is, what is your favorite memory or story about your journey with Mateo so far? Your journey as moms, you have like a really good story for us
about him.
Oh man. One story. That's like
your favorite one. Like when you think of Mateo,
really putting you on the spot.
When you think of Mateo,
tell us your favorite thing about your son now.
My God, there's so many stories.
Yeah, that's
like
the hardest question you guys have asked us.
This is a hard question because I'm sure every moment of every day is your favorite one.
There's so many. I'm just gonna say a recent one. He's been really wanting a brother or sister and like asking us every day for one. And the other day at church at my aunt's funeral, he said, "God, put a baby in mama's belly."
He prayed
really
God.
Loudly.
Oh my God.
In church.
Do you know that the other day on the couch, he turned to me and he told me that Mama Joanne's going to have a sister in her belly?
Yeah. He's been asking constantly.
Well, I mean, we've been starting to talk to him about the idea because, you know, especially, you know, we recently fostered, and when our foster babe came, it was very sudden, and you know, we thought about a lot about how that impacted him, and he didn't really have any warning or preparation. So we discussed that, you know, we really want to start talking about the idea before like another baby pops up. And especially with Joanne, we plan that she'll be the next one pregnant. So like that, you know, with his attachment to her too, we wanted to make sure we kind of eased it in. So we've been telling him that we're like, you know, we're going to like, mom is going to have a baby in her belly soon, you know, and all that. So he's like, brings it up all the time. Aww. In the most like,
yeah,
random places. But like the fact that he knew to ask God
at church.
Oh my God.
And let me just give a disclosure. We're not like very religious at all. So it's not like we're at Sunday service every week praying for our family.
Same.
No. Like, the last time we were in church was, I mean,
His 1 year anniversary of his
Christmas. Yeah, we went. But, yeah, we don't go often. So the fact that he knew, like, that he was asking God for a baby in Mama Jean's belly was
And leaving the funeral, he turned to everyone and said, "So sorry for your loss."
No way.
Love him.
Stop.
He's so funny.
Again, I don't even know how he knew that.
So those kind of memories are what I have of Mateo. Incredible. Just the freaking
how
K-pop.
He picks up things and you say something to him and you think you're just saying it in passing. And then he just,
the other day when I got home from work, he goes, "Mom, I'm so glad you're home."
Aww.
He's just,
so it's, yeah, yeah, those are my favorite memories with Mateo.
The little things.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So that wraps up our first part of this conversation. Join us next week for the IVF, the Mateo pregnancy, the adoption, the fostering of it all. We have a lot.
We have so much more to unpack, people.
I didn't realize we were so interesting.
Oh, you guys are interesting, let me tell you.
You're a hit.
So with that being said, we're thanking everyone for checking in this week, and we'll see you in a week. So with that being said,
bye.
Gotta love them.
Hope you enjoyed your time in the lab. New episodes drop every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to your podcasts.
Our cover art is by Lauren Satchwell at Little Toe Knife on Instagram. And our theme song? It's by me, bitch. The song is Bed Together, and it's produced by Zaro Vega at Zaro Vega on Instagram.
Oh, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram. You can find us at Lab Partners Pod. And if you're digging the dissections, let us know by giving us a review and a rating. Also, you can send any topic that needs our dissection right on over to labpartnerspod@gmail.com. See you in the lab. Gotta love them.